Jesus is the main one. God's grace is the main entity. Amen. And precious indeed that we have going. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer before we enter into God's word today. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and our Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all that our ears have heard, our hearts have experienced. We thank you, Lord, for the worship, praise, and adoration that's gone up to you. And Lord God, we thank you for the illumination and the enlightenment, the confidence and the encouragement, the blessing and the truth, Lord God, reveal unto us coming down from you. And Lord God, through these vessels, ministers, my God, chosen of you, used of you to minister, to enlighten, and give understanding and comprehension to your precious and dear ones for whom Christ died. Now, Lord, we pray blessing much on these in our immediate presence and those abroad. Bless, Lord, bless your servant. Bless, Lord God, every hearer. Direct every hearer, O God, and direct this truth unto as many at this time as thou hast eternally determined. This we ask in the righteous, holy, highest name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. We are yet dealing from the subject and with the subject matter of God's sovereignty in election. If you notice, I did not pass out any documents today. I'm going to take a somewhat different approach today. God's people, amen, need to, ought to, be informed. And that is what our truth, the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery truth given by revelation from our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, which is Christ's body. There was truth in the dispensation of innocence and conscience unto Adam and Eve, truth unto Noah and the elect of his day. There was truth given unto Abraham and the elect of his day. There was truth given unto Israel via Moses through the law and the elect there. There was truth given in the presentation and proclamation of the kingdom as our Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, but yet the kingdom has been and is put on hold. There was truth for them, and that truth will be revived. And there is truth for that which was hidden, the grace dispensation and its recipients, which are the body of Christ, which our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ gave unto the Apostle Paul, truth that had never before been heard of or known. It was kept secret in God until the time that he had eternally determined its revealing. It was revealed unto the Apostle Paul for, exclusively for, the Grace Church. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, as we have been in each outing for some time now, to the book of Ephesians, and we are going to look at continually Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And our pastor is our designated reader, Pastor Cutler, the pastor of the Grace Gospel Church. He's our designated reader. And, Pastor, I want you to focus on verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version and verses 3 through 7 from the interlinear Greek text. Now, we consider the translations, King James and other translations, but that's what they are. They were translated by men who had preconceived scriptural notions on what the Word of God was saying, and it was reflected in their translation. And sometime, according to their predisposed believing of what the scriptures taught, sometime it hit dead on target, and other times it presented their predisposed prejudices, denominational prejudices, upon God's word. And it's oftentimes reflected in some of the words that we find in italics, which were supposedly put in to give clarification, but oftentimes they did not give clarification, but they muddled the actual conveyance of what God's word was saying. But now that's no reason or give us pause to do away with the translations. Amen. We go a tad further. We consider the translations, and we consider also what we call the Greek interlinear text. It is from the older manuscripts, and the compiler of this text, he gives the words in English, but he gives the Greek scripting above the words. So he is held more accountable to present the actual conveyance of the scriptures. But he does not take into consideration the grammar. And here at the Grace Gospel Church, God has blessed us to, in our exegesis and our ministering, to consider the historical content, what dispensation we are in. The dispensation being God's dealing with his elect. In what form? What were the principles? What did he tell or give unto them? And in covenants, whether it was a bilateral or lateral or unilateral covenant. Bilateral mean God gave his elect things that they must perform, and God performed that which he placed upon him. And the other were the unilateral covenants, that God placed everything upon him, and no responsibility was placed on the elect for the fulfillment of the contract or testament or agreement or covenant. Unilateral and bilateral. The mystery conveys unto us the grace covenant. And in grace, there cannot be bilateralism. God do his part, and we must, in order to effectuate or bring about the covenant, do our part. Grace means a favor, a benefit, a benevolent, a thanks. That is what we have in the grace covenant, and is brought out in the mystery gospel truth given to the Apostle Paul, and it comes out in his 14 epistles, Romans through Hebrews. It is our truth. And let me say from the outset, all of God's word is true and truth. But all of God's word is not truth for us in the grace dispensation to keep or perform. All the sacrifices of animals, all the ceremonies in the law, they are not for us to perform. That was to Israel. We have the grace covenant. Freely, that which was freely given unto us. And there's one thing, let me say this. There's another thing, three things that God's people have little understanding regarding. Very little understanding regarding. Number one on the list is salvation. Many or most of God's people, as the leadership, place salvation in time. That you must do something in order to get saved. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many of God's people do not understand the concept of our salvation in the grace dispensation, under the grace covenantal truth. The mystery writings that were given to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. That is why they had a separation, I think, in the 15th through the 17th chapter of Acts. Peter and the rest of the kingdom apostles, they separated after they had given Paul and the grace apostles, Paul, Silas, the grace apostles, the right hand of fellowship, for they to go to the circumcision, or the Jewish believers, and Paul and the others to go predominantly and primarily unto the Gentiles with the grace message. All of the Bible is true and truth. But all of the Bible is not truth for us to be taught in following. Praise God. God's grace and goodness and love and mercy, it is throughout Scripture. It is throughout. But ours is totally of grace. Israel had to keep the law or else they faced detriment. Israel had coverings in the sacrifices that were given unto them until the true Lamb of God came, not to cover sin, but to take it away for them. Our gospel focuses primarily on our eternal relationship with Christ. Eternal. And it's all of grace. Before time was created, before the ages were created, before the world, as we will see, was created, we were chosen in Christ. And that is our actual abode and abiding. That is our existence. Christ, not for time, but eternally. We're speaking from the subject matter, God's sovereignty and election to salvation. God's sovereignty, God's absolute right in that which he has done. God is not making daily decisions or making up stuff as he goes. Again, as we will see scripturally, God's sovereignty or absolute right in election or choosing some unto salvation, not all. Not all. You can inquire of Romans 9, where it specifically speaks of vessels of mercy, us that receive God's mercy, and those created vessels of wrath to receive God's wrath, that the vessels of mercy may see God's grace to the utmost and see a differentiation or distinction in those that do not belong to God. God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Salvation simply means our eternal relationship in or son positioning in the body of Christ unto God. It is deliverance from sin and its consequences, all of them. Deliverance from sin and all of its consequences. It is preservation by God or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, and it means that we are ultimately, actually safe. Irregardless of what happens in time, God has determined everything in all the events of time. But irregardless of that, this is not our actual abode or venue. This is not home. This is not it for us. Ours is eternal abode or abiding in the body of Christ, irregardless of what happens here or how we leave here. Ours is eternality in Christ, safe, secure. God's people do not understand suffering. They think that suffering is God getting back at them, some of God's people. God's people do not truly and actually understand who we actually are. Let's let the scriptures speak to us now. Pastor Cutler, if you have Ephesians chapter 1, please read verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version, and verse 3 through 7, we will take the interlineal Greek text rendering.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
From the King James.
Yes.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace, benevolence, a benefit, a favor, grace, hallelujah. There is no earning or contributional payback in grace. It's a gift. It's a benefit. And in 13 of Paul's 14 epistles, it continually, in the first chapter, speaks to us grace and peace. Our peace is not in Washington. It's not in firearms or firepower. Our peace is not in our abilities. Our peace is in Christ and in Christ alone.
I hear you.
Hallelujah. Grace and peace from God, our Father. Let me say this. Just like according to our natural fathers, mothers, we have their genes, their genesis. We have their chromosomal makeup. And they act out in us in our body form, like our fathers, in our habits, like our fathers, in our looks, like our fathers, according to the flesh, even in our character, like our fathers, according to the flesh. And like our fathers, according to the flesh, we die according to the flesh. But in 13 of Paul's epistles, it tells us grace and peace from God, our Father. God is not a man. He's our Father. I mean, the scriptures say he's our Father. It's not according to Deacon Gavin. It says that he's our Father. God is spirit, and he's our Father. God is omnipresent, and he's our Father. God is eternal, spirit, omnipresent, and he's our Father. He's eternal. And just like our fathers, we follow the script of them in Genesis and in conclusion according to the flesh. So we follow our Father, our eternal spiritual Father, God, in our eternality and in spirit, not according to flesh. Our actualized essence and existence is spirit. Well before, in eternity rather, than flesh in time. Just like our Lord Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 2, around the 14th verse, he took on a body for the suffering of death. We were placed in bodies for the manifestation of the purpose that God had purposed in our walk, in our course. Everything in it. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. The times we favor and the times we disfavor are all unto us according to God. Pastor Cutler, now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 from the interlinear Greek text. Bless the God and Father, the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
He having blessed us with every, that is each and every blessing.
Each and every blessing.
Spiritual.
Spiritual.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
In Christ.
Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who having blessed us. Going to the grammar. Speaking of the grammar. That is what we call the aorist tense. The aorist tense in the Greek language is stronger, speaks greater than the past tense in the English language. The aorist tense in the Greek language speaks of a completed action. An action is completed, even though some don't like to go there in the completeness of it. But it's an action and it's completed. The perfect tense is an action that's completed and the effects or the results are ongoing, in continuation. The aorist tense is a completed act. We are having been blessed with each and every blessing spiritual. No, the devil don't have your stuff, not your real stuff. It's reserved in the heavenlies. It's reserved in the heavenlies for us when our consciousness out of these bodies, and we are manifestly engaged with them. Each and every blessing spiritual, none left out, nothing. Read on, Pastor.
Verse 4, as he chose us in him before.
Again, go ahead, Pastor.
Before foundation
of the world. Of the world.
To be a being us holy and unblemished,
separated and unblemished
before him
in love. Before him in love. Again, the aorist tense, according as he chose us, not all, chose us, not them. Again, Romans chapter 9, look at it. It shows the vessels, how God chose the vessels of mercy. And they are distinguished from the vessels of wrath, fitted, purposed, assigned to destruction. Everyone does not belong to God in endearment. Amen. Praise him. By his grace, we are. Read on, Pastor.
In love. Destined us to.
Having predestinated us, predetermined, pre, before. Everything is already accomplished in eternity. Aorist tense again.
To adoption of sons.
Unto the adoption of sons, or placement in son positioning. We are sons of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs of all that belong to Christ. And all creation is in Christ. Not just the universe or what we know about, but everything that is. If it is, it is in Christ. And we are heirs of God and co-joint heirs. That's not joint there. We are joint heirs of God, of Christ, of all that is. All that is. Your heirs. The adoption of sons.
Adoptions of sons through Jesus Christ to him.
To him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him. Uh-huh.
Verse 6.
And all this?
To praise of glory.
To the praise of the glory. Get this. Here it comes.
Of the grace of him.
Of the grace of him.
Of which he favored us.
Of which he favored us.
In the having been loved.
In the having been loved. You weren't just loved of God when you realized it. It was just known and revealed unto you. We have been loved from eternity. That's why everything regarding us, all spiritual blessings reserved for us, our abode in Christ Jesus, everything is reserved because we are the having been loved of God eternally. I'm telling you, we're just like our Father. He is eternal. God, our Father, he's eternal and we are eternal. In spirit, not this. This could go in a moment according to God. He has already determined the day of our separation from this. It's already spoken. All it takes now for us is the manifestation of it. The manifestation or the showing up of it. But that is not the end. That's only a separation of us from that which really hinders us. Which does not fully speak to who we are. In here is a sinful nature that's able to lead us away from the righteousness of God. But in Christ, no sin, complete righteousness in the beloved where we eternally abide. This temporary, quick, temporary. You look in the book of Genesis, all the great ages that are expressed there. Adam, Noah, Methuselah. Enoch was a baby compared to most of them. 365 years in the flesh on the earth. 900 and some years. But the epitaph of each of those great ages ends with, and he died. Anything in physicality comes to an end.
I hear you.
That which is in spirituality, eternality. Our actual abode, our actual existence, saints, is in spirituality, in eternality. Just like God, our Father. Do you think that he send that greeting unto us time and time and time and time again for naught? No way. Grace and peace. Grace, favor, benefit, love, kindness from God our Father, even our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think he keep telling us he's our Father. And pulling our leg, yanking our chain. I don't think so. We might do it even in jest, but not God. Continually, the mystery message that was kept secret until God determined to reveal it. Verse 7, Pastor.
Verse 7.
Get this.
In whom we have the redemption through the blood of him.
Redemption through his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The forgiveness of trespasses.
The forgiveness of trespasses, and may I say all of them. In another place, he hath forgiven us all the trespasses. All our sins were placed upon him in eternity and in manifestation at Calvary.
According to the riches of the grace of him.
According to the riches of the grace of him. Again, God's grace is that wherein we were saved. We were not saved in time, as Ephesians 1 and 4 says. According as he chose us in him before the laying of the foundation of the world or the creation of time. He chose us, picked us out, selected us. And in him, before time, before flesh, before creation, in the creation of time, we were holy or separated unto him. We were separated unto him from them. You've heard me say it before. According to the world and the non-elect, we don't know absolutely who they are, so don't go out like I used to do, saying he, she, sure can't be saved or is not saved. We do not know. The Apostle Paul's example was put in Scripture. Paul was a killer and a persecutor of Christians. He made them speak evil of the name of Jesus, denounce Jesus at the threat of death. That was put there to let us know you can't go too low. You can't be too low, too deep in sin, that God's mercy and God's grace cannot affect you. Nothing is a barrier to God. He is the creator of all things. Nothing's a barrier to him. Same thing with the life that he has placed before us, our course in this life. No problem. No predicament. No situation. No matter how near and dear it is or how well we embrace it according to the flesh, nothing is a barrier from God's deliverance, from God's enablement. If we fall, we're not lost. We're not lost if we were chosen. If we fall according to the flesh, we're not lost if we belong to him. I say this as I say always in follow-up. There is nothing righteous but righteousness. We are not righteous in ourselves and according to the flesh. Our righteousness belongs to the one who died for us, who shed his blood for us. He is our righteousness. He is our life. He is our all, our help. He is our hope. He is our existence, our life, our existence, our all, Christ. We are members of his body. And as all creation is in him and he is spirit, for all creation to be in him, how do you think we fare? We won't have to go from galaxy to visit. From universe to whatever is in God to say, how you doing? No. All creation is in him. And we are in him. We are of him. We are him. His body, spirit, not flesh. Flesh ends here. The sinfulness of the flesh ends here. Now I want to, second part of this dissertation. There is a lot of God's people that take the Romans road. They put salvation in time as something that we have to do to get saved and obviously to stay saved. We didn't get saved in time. We didn't get saved at all. We were chosen unto salvation as the scripture, Ephesians 1 and 4 and others just conveyed to us. Now we're going to have that conveyance again. I say in scriptural exegesis, that is scriptural interpretation of the actual conveyance the script is trying to give unto us. We take the historical, what dispensation we're in. We're in the grace dispensation. We take, praise God, the contextual. We don't just run in and snatch one verse out and establish doctrine on it and run with it. And we take the grammar, the Greek. God could have called our Bible to be written in Italian. Rome was in the power at then, but he chose to have it scripted in Greek. So we go to the Greek language not to be, but to comprehend, to understand. And it tells us what is, what actually is. Some take the Romans' road to salvation. We've just seen. For we were chosen in him before the creation of foundation of the world. Being holy right then. We were chosen in eternity. Before time. Before the created entity of time. Being holy. Being without blame. I know. You got faults. Your faults, some of you are almost big as mine. But being in our eternal essence in Christ, being holy, separated and without any blame because of Christ and in Christ. He bore all our sins and our transgressions were placed on him. I'm going to ask you to turn with me now to Romans chapter 10. And we are going to give some exegesis and explanation in light of the usual, typically denominational assent to the Romans' road to salvation. There's no road to salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and it was accomplished in eternity. We were chosen in him before the creation of the world, being holy, and nothing in time, in the created entity of time. We didn't do anything in these bodies, out of these bodies, including faith or believing our faith. We didn't do anything to get in Christ. And nothing in time can take us out of Christ. Hallelujah. If you have Romans 10, we're going to take beginning at verse 5. Beginning at verse 5, we're going to ask Pastor Cutler to begin reading at verse 5, and Pastor, you can read from the King James, and then we'll look at the Greek interlineal.
Romans chapter 10, verse 5, from the King James. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which does these things shall live by them.
The man that does the things of the law shall live, not by, but in. Read that from the interlinear, Pascal. And as a matter of fact, we may stay with in the
from the interlinear.
Interlinear Greek text.
For Moses writeth the righteousness of the law.
Of the law.
The doing man will live by it.
The doing man will live.
Actually, that should be in.
In them. They're plural. It's plural. So it wouldn't be it. Except in, it was taken as a volume. Doing of those things. All right? The doing man is in the aorist tense. They only do what was predetermined and predisposed out of God's decree for them to do. And the same thing with us today. The aorist tense, a completed action. The only place you can have completion is in eternity or in eternality. Completed. Eternally. Those that were doing the things of the law, it was eternally decreed and disposed from God's decree that they would do them or not. And will live is an indicative future. Indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. When was it done? It was always done. And the only place you can have something that was always done is in eternity, not time. You will live in them. Verse 6, Pastor.
Verse 6 in the interlinear. The But the of faith righteousness.
Now this is what we call a superordinating conjunction. But showing contrast. But the of faith righteousness. And that word would be more properly faithfulness. Now, both faith and faithfulness. This word is a noun in your versions, King James and others. Both faith and faithfulness are both nouns. But our righteousness is not based on faith. As we just saw, we were chosen in him, being holy and without blame before him in love in eternity. Aorist tense. So this would better be faithfulness, and it's sure not ours. One day we up, next day we not so up. And if you think you're faithful, jump in a car, with license of course, and go out in traffic for one day. If you don't say it, you'll think it. And it won't be according to Christ, like Christ, that is. In America. Praise Jesus. And the other things in other places of the world. All right. Pastor, read on.
Thus says.
But the of faith righteousness thus saith.
Not say in the heart of thee.
Not say in the heart of thee.
Who will ascend into heaven?
Who will ascend into heaven?
This is Christ to bring down.
This is Christ to bring down. Not say in the heart of thee. Our verse 5 was a quote from Leviticus 18 and 5. Paul is contrasting works righteousness as opposed to faith or faithfulness righteousness. We are righteous only through Christ. We are not faithful in no way, shape, form, or fashion. This is a quote from Deuteronomy. These next two verses have quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 through 14. And I'm going to have Pastor Cutler go there after the next verse. But the righteousness of faith, this says, not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens. This, that's a demonstrative pronoun. This, a demonstrative pronoun, is used to distinguish one object from another or one person from another. So we are looking at something that is distinguishing, showing the difference in one thing from the other. This is to bring Christ down, or to bring, having brought. It's a completed action. It's a completed action. All right? Verse 7.
Verse 7, who will descend into the abyss?
Or who will ascend into the abyss?
This is Christ. Dead to bring up.
From dead to bring up. The inference is, we don't have to do that. That's why the aorist tense is there. To bring, having brought. Already done. Eternally. Revelation 13 and 8. Yes, we read John, Luke, Matthew, and Mark, how Christ died on the cross. But Revelation 13 and 8, given to the Apostle John, the revelation given unto him, the Lamb of God was slain before the creation or foundation of the world. A completed action. Calvary, as awful as it was manifestation what God had already spoken, said in it into existence in eternity. Things don't come about. Things don't abide or exist in the seeing. Everything exists in God having said it or spoken it into existence. That is what bring a thing into being or into existence. God having spoken it. And so the problems and the vicissitudes of life, God spoke them into existence. But they are all designed, specifically, purposely designed. My bad habits were designed. Your not near as bad habits were designed. But I still said bad habits were by design of God. According to the sinful nature, God directed it and purposed what will come out of it and what will not. So if you won't do like someone else did, say, Lord, I thank you. Because if God had not designed it not to go that way, you not only would do what they did, you could do much, much worse. Much, much worse. Now, before we go on to verse 8, I'm going to ask Pastor Cutler, this is what, to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's read the corroboration. The corroboration means to go to another covenant. The law, we are under grace, but there are some things that corroborate. Corroborate means to confirm or strengthen. Now, we cannot abide in the law, otherwise we'd have to do sacrifices. I thought I had to do that one time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I had the grill all set up. I mean, it came with the house. I was reading from the wrong truth. And I didn't make enough to keep buying the stuff, the animals. Plus, the neighbors or the police would have got me. It doesn't matter who first. Pastor Cutler is going to read. These are quotes from Deuteronomy. Pastor Cutler is going to read where they came from. Pastor Cutler, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30, begin at verse 10 and read down through verse 14, please.
Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God,
speaking to Israel in the law,
to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if I turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul.
If you turn. All right. That's the conditional covenant. Grace is of no condition, saints beloved, those near and abroad. Read, Pastor.
For this commandment which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off.
It's not far.
It is not in heaven.
Is not in heaven.
That thou should saith, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it.
They didn't have to do it. God had spoken it. He had given his word what they were to do. They didn't have to send no one into the heavens. This is what Paul is referring to. Faith righteousness, this distinguished from that. Or according to not having to do that and not having to do anything in faithfulness, righteousness. Okay?
Verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it.
They didn't have to do that. God gave them his word in the scripting of the law. They knew it. They heard it. They practiced it. They chanted it. Next verse and last verse there, Pastor Cutler.
But the word is very much nigh unto thee.
The word is very much nigh unto thee.
In thy mouth.
In thy mouth.
And in thy heart.
In thy heart.
That thou mayest do it.
That thou mayest do it. God has said it. He has given it. You don't have to go anywhere. To them. Do it to them. Theirs is a conditional covenant of works. Do it. All right. Read on, Pastor. Romans 10, Pastor Cutler. And we'll move down to verse 8. Unto them The word has been given unto you. Do it. That is works righteousness. The righteousness of the law. It is of works that the doing man, according to what God has eternally decreed, shall live in them. Now, let's watch this demonstrative pronoun.
In verse 8. But what says it?
Paul writes, but what says it?
Near thee, the word is.
That saying back there, referring to that saying back there.
In the mouth of thee.
Near thee, the word is in the mouth of thee.
And in the heart of thee.
See, he's quoting Deuteronomy 30:14. All right. And
this is the word.
This. A demonstrative pronoun is used to distinguish one object from another or one person from another. Just like them in the doing of them, Paul says this. Let's see what else he said. This
is the word of faith.
Distinguish it now. This is the word of faith, or better, faithfulness. And I'm going to show you in verse 9 and 10, which is called to be the Romans road, so-called, to salvation.
Which we proclaim.
This is the word of faithfulness, not ours, Christ. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. This is the word of faith, or better, faithfulness, which we preach. They don't preach doing. That is under the law. It is a works program of salvation that God gave unto Israel. This, ours, that was given and revealed to the Apostle Paul by the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus for the Grace Church, is our truth for Paul to give to the Grace Church. This is the word of faithfulness which we preach, Paul is saying. All right, now, let's look at Romans 10 and 9. Pastor Cutler, if you please, verse 9 from the interlineal Greek text.
Verse 9 from the interlineal. Because if thou confessest with the mouth.
Because if thou confessest. Now, what the King James does not pick up is the grammar. But praise be unto God, he gave it to us in exegesis, or interpreting the original language into the English language. We have an aorist subjunctive there. Israel had a righteousness of doing. Ours is a faithfulness righteousness, not according to doing. You don't do to become. If you do, it's because you are. You kneel down and tear it because you are. You prayed the sinner's prayer because you are. You shook the preacher's hand because you are. You rocked back and forth on the mourner's bed because you are. Ours is a faithfulness righteousness. Because if thou may confess, aorist subjunctive, having confessed. Everyone don't necessarily confess in the enlightenment or learning of their salvation. Aorist subjunctive. If God has determined, and only those chosen before the foundation of the world can confess as unto God. If thou may confess, we don't do anything to get saved. We don't get saved. All the scripting has already been determined in God saying it. Who is his? Who are his? and who are not. Go to Romans 9. Vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy. If thou may confess in time, depending on who God determined will confess, that's where the probability aspect of the aorist tense is there. Having confessed. Read on, Pastor. With thy mouth.
With the mouth of the Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus.
Believe.
And may believe. Having believed. Pastor, would you hold that and get Philippians chapter 1, verse 29 for me, please. But hold that. If thou may believe, having believed. My friend, if you offer your faith unto God for salvation, that is a work. There can be no work in grace. None. But the work of Christ in eternity. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world and the manifestation of it on Calvary. That is the work that was done regarding our salvation and the accomplishment of our salvation. Pastor Cutler, would you please read for us loud and clear for the people of God in America and abroad. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 29. Yes, Pastor. From the Greek text.
From the Greek interlineal.
From the Greek interlineal text.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Because to you it was given.
Paul writes to these Gentile believers. Because to you it was given. Aorist indicative. The indicative mood, I said earlier, is a fact, and a fact is a thing that's done. When was it done? It was always done. The aorist indicative, and guess what voice it is in? It's in the passive voice. Saints of God, in the passive aspect, you don't do it. It is done to you. You were caused to do it. You were purposed to do it. It does not come out of you in the active aspect. It comes to you, regarding you, unto you, in the passive aspect and the aorist completedness of eternality. Unto you it was or has been given. Read on, Pastor Cutler.
On behalf of Christ.
On the behalf of Christ.
Not only in him to believe.
Yes, son. Not only on him to believe.
But also. On behalf of him.
On behalf of him. It has been given. It was predetermined when you were given entrance in time in a body
to suffer.
It was given to suffer, saints of God. Every day not going to be rosy. You're not going to necessarily be wealthy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's according to God, our course. But our actual existence is not here. It's not in health. It's not in wealth. It's not in fleshly, worldly wisdom. It's not in things, and it's not in stuff. Ours is in the heavenlies, in Christ, reserved, eternal. We unite with it when this is gone, and our consciousness are reunited, exposed where we always were and have never left. Paul was laying on the ground after being stoned. They thought he was dead. That's the only reason they stopped throwing rocks at him. But while he was down, his consciousness was taken up to the third heaven. And he heard things, and he said he was caught to the third heavens. He knew what was going on. He knew where he was. when these bodies are gone, our consciousness will be manifested where we always were and never left, in Christ, eternality. All spiritual things ours. All right, Pastor, real quickly, time is almost expired for me. Let's go ahead and finish that after. And shalt believe, may believe, having believed. You don't just believe. That would be a work out of you, saints. That was done, determined, predetermined in eternity. Finish that verse up, Pastor, if you will.
Believe that God raised. That God him raised.
Have raised. That's
from dead.
Aorist tense. It was always done. Calvary and the resurrection thereafter was manifestation of what was.
Thou will be saved.
Thou will be. That's an indicative future. An indicative mood. An indicative mood is a thing that's done. The future already is. Why do you think the book of Revelation speaks of the end of time and the wrap up of everything and ushering into eternality? Everything is done. Our being saved is because we are saved. Indicative future, a future fact. And the fact goes back to God's decree. God spoke everything into eternity, from eternity. Finishing at verse 10, Pastor.
For with heart believes to righteousness.
For with heart believes to righteousness.
And with mouth confesses to salvation.
Confession. Present, indicative. It was always a fact. It was always done. And guess what voice? The passive voice. If we rock and moan, we were called to do it. That was God's way of revealing his salvation unto us. And it differs from his elect to his elect. If you tear it and slobber the whole area around you, you were called to. You did it because you were his. You only had to do it because it was ordained. But that's the way God revealed himself to you. He revealed himself to me that I belong to him differently. And saints of God, let no one fool you or dismay you. You belong to the Lord before time, before creation. You were his. For by one spirit were we all baptized, and sure wasn't flesh because there was no water around. And with no flesh around, were we all? We were identified into one body, the body of Christ. Come what may in your life, and many things have come, and there's more to come in your life and mine. Whatever God has determined, predetermined regarding you, you're safe. God, as you face the vicissitudes of life, let's pray. Lord, according to your will, and not what is this, but what is this for, and know beyond a shadow of doubt everything, even the most atrociousness of things. We live, we are. Nothing can take us out actually. This is already gone. It just hasn't manifested. Everything. Predicament, problem, insult, everything is according to God. God bless you.